and share with Abe. And we'll share it together.
Okay.
So, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. So this is going to be my one shiur before Rosh Hashanah together. So I wanted to talk about in preparing for Rosh Hashanah, thinking about Rosh Hashanah, a theme that we can use because it's kind of strange. We're so busy in our lives, we don't realize we're only 2 weeks out, approximately, from Rosh Hashanah. And something to think about how to prepare is what I wanted to address today in the middle of Chodesh Elul. So to do that, I wanted to look at maybe an unlikely place for inspiration. And that is a story that appears in the Chumash in a very, I would say, unexpected place from the standpoint of the high holidays. And that is a story that appears way at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, when Yosef appears to be at mamish, the lowest of the low. Here he is in a pit. Now, I can't really even imagine in my own mind what a jail or a pit in antiquity meant. I assume it meant literally a pit. Yosef finds himself in the pit, and when he is there, he has a turning point in his life. The turning point is the interaction with the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, the cupbearer, the drink mixer for Paro, and the baker.
They were in the pit with him.
They were in the pit with him for various, their own infractions. So let's look carefully. I'd just like to look at this story as a source of insight into this, the experience of Rosh Hashanah.
What pasuk?
So, the story starts at the beginning of Perek Mem. Perek Mem, pasuk Aleph. Vayhi achar advarim ha'ele. And it was after these things. Chatu mashke melech Mitzrayim v'ha'ofel adoneihem lemelech Mitzrayim. So the butler, we can call him, the drink mixer, and the baker sinned to their master, the king of Egypt. Vayiktzov Paro al shnei sarisav, and Paro was upset with his two stewards, al sar hamashkim al sar ha'ofim. Vayitein osam emishmar beis sar ha'tabachim el beis ha'sohar. So what does he do? He incarcerates them. Where is that place? Makom asher Yosef asur sham. The place where Yosef is incarcerated. And the Sar HaTabachim, the head of the prison, had already designated Yosef as someone who is worthy of attention. So, Vayifkot Sar HaTabachim as Yosef Itam, Vayisharas Osam, so he serves them. I apologize, I don't have enough chumashim. I thought we had more, so we'll share. Vayu yamin b'mishmar. And what happens? What do they wake up one day and they say, I have
a dream.
A dream, thank you. Vayachalmu chalom shneim ish chalomo belaila echad. Each one of them has a dream at night. These two servants of Paro. Pasuk Vav, moving a little more quickly. Vayavo aleim Yosef aboker vayaro sam vihinam zoafim. And Yosef sees them in the morning, and they're very unsettled. And he says to them, why are you so unsettled today? We're preparing, today's shiur is preparation for Rosh Hashanah, so we're reading the story of the butler and the baker in Mitzrayim. Makes sense, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
It's the first thing you would have thought of when you walked in this morning.
I think it's wonderful.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I understand.
Good.
Thank you.
We'll explain it later. So he asked them,
now,
what's doing?
Looking at the page.
That's right. She asked them, he says, what's going on over here? And they say in Pasuk Ches, in 8, Vayom Re'lav, they say to him, Chalom Chalamnu, Foseron Oso. So they say, look, we had a dream and we don't know how to interpret that dream. So Yosef says to them, God has interpreters? Tell me what it is. Vayisaper in Pasuk Tes, Vayisaper Sar HaMashkim es Chalomo LeYosef, and the Sar HaMashkim tells his dream to Yosef, Vayomer lo, and he says to him, Bachalomi in my dream, Vihine Gefen Lefanai. And there is a Gefen, meaning?
Grapevine.
Right, a grapevine in front of me. Uvagefen shlosha sarigim, Vihi cheforachas alasa nitsa, Hivshilu ashkeloseho anavim. And he describes, you see the very detailed description, on the vine are three clusters, and the three clusters are bloomed and blossomed, and they ripen, hivshilu. Levashel means like they cook, they ripened, so they're delicious, perfect grapes hanging on this vine. Vekos paro biyadi, and I'm holding the cup of paro. Vo'ekach eso anovim vo'eschar osam el kos paro. I take these perfectly ripened grapes, and I squeeze them into the cup of paro. Vo'etin esakos al kaf paro, and I put the kos on his hand. Vayomer lo Yosef, Yosef says to him, Ze pisrono, this is the interpretation of your dream. Shlosha sasarigim, shlosha yamim heim, the three groups of grapes, they are 3 days. And in 3 days, like the three groups, you will be returned to your post, and you will mix drinks again for Paro, like you did in the good old days, before things went sour. He just says, you're going to go back there, please remember me, look, get me out of this circumstance, because I've been taken away from my land, etc. Pasuk Tezayin, moving to 16, Vayar Sar HaOfim Kitov Pasar. And the Sar HaOfim saw that it was a good interpretation. Vayomer El Yosef, he says to Yosef, Afani Bachalomi, I also had in my dream, Vihinei Shlosha Salei Chori Al Roshi. There were three baskets of baked goods on my head. Right? So, Saleh Chori, Rashi translates as like chores in it. So it was a wicker basket. What do they have in there? Vasala Elyon Mikomachal Paro Maase Ofe. And in these wicker baskets, there were all kinds of breads, you know, baked goods of all kinds for Paro. Vahaof Ochelosam Minhasal Meal Roshi. And the bird is eating the bread, the baked goods, from the basket on my head. Vayan Yosef Vayomer Zepis or no. Yosef answered him, and he says, this is the interpretation. Shloshes hasalim, shloshes yamim heim. The three baskets are 3 days. What's going to happen? Ba'od shloshes yamim in 3 days. Yisa faro es roshcha me'alecha. Paro will lift up your head from above you. V'salauscha al eitz. And he will hang you on a tree. V'achal ha'ofes b'sarcha me'alecha, and the birds will eat your flesh. Vayi b'yom ha'shlishi, and it was on the 3rd day. What was it?
Paro's birthday.
That's right. Yom uledes es Paro. It was Paro's birthday. Vayas mishta l'chol avodav. So he made a party. We had a special birthday this week for those who are keeping track. Just turned 59, the reverend. That's what I heard. Right?
Well, why?
Birthday this week, Reverend Wolf.
New, where's the schnapps?
They had on Monday.
That is a past tense thing.
Everybody should merit.
Yom huledet sameach.
Right? Halavai, we should all merit to be at this age of 59, exactly in this condition to come and learn Torah. Unbelievable. We should all merit. Hashem Yisbarach should give us all the good health.
Amen.
And many more good years and good health.
Amen.
Nachas. Amen. So it's Paro's Yom Uledes. You'll pardon, that's okay. I made that small interruption. It's okay. It's Paro's Yom Uledes. Vayas Mishnah L'chol Avodav. He makes a party. Vayiso Es Rosh Sara Mashkim V'Es Rosh Sara Ofim B'Soch Avodav. And what happens? Exactly as Yosef had predicted. The Sara Mashkim is returned and the Sara Ofim is taken out. we can suggest that this story is a key to understanding the whole experience of Rosh Hashanah.
Of a what, Rabbi?
Of Rosh Hashanah.
Oh.
This story, in this story right here, you have the experience of Rosh Hashanah.
The book of life and the book of death, right here.
It's good.
What?
The book of life and the book of death.
You think good thoughts, you think negative thoughts. You look up or you look down.
That is what the Gemara says is the whole concept of the interpretation of dreams, that it follows the interpretation, meaning the dream can be interpreted in multiple ways. You look this way, you look that way. And some, all right, now this is just a tangent, but following what Vern said, some say that's the pshat, why it is that the Sara Ofim only tells the dream after he hears the interpretation of the first dream. Because it says, Vayar Sara Ofim Kitov Pasar. The baker says, I want to hear what kind of interpreter is he. Is he somebody who looks up, like you said, or does he look down? Now, in point of fact, the interpretation was true about the Sara Ofim, that it was down. But yes, depending on how you see yourself. Any other thoughts?
It was also the birthday, say like the birth of the world.
Good.
They're in jail.
People feeling in the straits, stuck. So let's put this story on hold, and let's frame it together to answer a different question, and then we'll see how it has greater significance, I think. Here we go.
Is it?
Oh. Yes, please.
Did you ask Mark Summer whether you could use his chair?
It's kind of sad. Well, it's the last sentence here. The chamberlain forgot about him. He did a nice, he gave a nice interpretation. He saved his life.
That's true.
And he forgot about him.
Yeah. So the Medrash, you're pointing out something very, very important. The Medrash discusses how could it be? You know, like you said, he saved his life. So the Medrash, in one context, interprets it that it was a divinely inspired forgetfulness to teach Yosef a lesson, which is part of a different discussion about how this story plays into the transformation of Yosef's personality. And therefore, it was by design that he needed two more years to suffer in that pit to learn something, which is not the topic for today, but it's definitely true that that's a very important point of the story. So here's how I'd like to step back and ask a simple question. We know that there is a very palpable sense on Rosh Hashanah of seriousness. Right, the Rambam writes that it's not a day of Simcha Yaseira. There's no excessive joy. The Bavli says, the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara asks, why don't you say Halal on Rosh Hashanah? It's a holiday. So what does the Gemara ask? Yeah, so what does that say? Explain it in English.
That the books are open and you're being judged, it's not a time to say Halal. That you have to be more serious and praise is not an issue.
Well, it's really... Rather than I think the tefillah are more to introspection and what it is that we're going to be receiving, rather than tefillah of praise
yes.
of Hashem.
Right. So why is that? Why is it? So because it's a day of
judgment.
How do we know that it's the day of judgment?
It says in the Yom Adin.
Hine Yom Adin, right? Isn't that like that's the basic? I'm not saying anything novel here, right? That is the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah. Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nidon. Four times a year, the world is being judged, and be'echad v'tishrei, on the first day of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. Kol boy olam over in the fun of Kivanei Maron. We are all passing in front of the Almighty and he looks at each one of us. Right? So that is the essence of the day. We got that. But then I don't really understand the way that we approach it. Because imagine Some of you know that I try to be a law-abiding citizen, generally speaking. One time, I did have to appear in a courtroom as a defendant, and that was before we moved here, so I didn't know Reb Michael. If I would have lived here, so then I probably wouldn't have had this problem. He would have been able to arrange for me. I was driving in Teaneck. Some of you are familiar with this small hamlet on the east coast of the United States. So I was driving on Teaneck on Cedar Road. Be careful there.
I've been there.
It's tons of police. Tons. They're swarming.
Going shopping.
I pull out of the parking lot off of Cedar Road, but I was not living in Teaneck at the time. I never lived in Teaneck. I was living in Washington Heights with Nechama, and somehow I was disoriented, so I didn't know exactly where I was. I was coming out of a parking lot, and I pulled into a side street that intersects Cedar Road. So Cedar Road goes along like this. I was coming out off of Cedar into a little kind of secondary road, and I made the turn, and as I made the turn, see, there's a police car, and he goes, that was it. That was the end of me. I turned the wrong direction in a one-way. I didn't realize that. Oh, that was it. So now I have a ticket. Not only do I have a ticket, I have a court date in the Teaneck Municipal Court. So the day comes, I have to come to this court date. So they say you have to be in the courtroom at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then 9:30 they start calling your names. I'm telling you, I was nervous. I was absolutely sweating bullets there. Even though, like, what's the worst thing they're going to do to me? Worst thing is the, what?
A fine.
A fine and a few points on my insurance. It's not like they're going to send me to the Bergen County Jail for going, you know, two steps in the wrong way. But I was so nervous. I was a nervous wreck. So I'm sitting there, you know, you're waiting. They're calling your name. And you're sitting in the courtroom. And everybody's like, it's like a real courtroom. You know, it's a municipal court, so they have a judge sits up on the bench there, and he sits down, you know, he's got a little microphone, and he has a desk, the whole thing, and then there's two stands where you sit, you stand over there, there's where you stand as the criminal.
As the criminal.
You're the criminal, and then, okay, Michael have different terminology for this, and then there's the prosecuting angel stands on the other side, the kategor, he stands over there, and then they have a little guy in the scribe in the middle, and it's scary. It makes you nervous. So I'm sitting there, I'm nervous, at 9:30 they call me up. Okay, Brand, Bruce, that's my English name, so that's the way it's going to go down. So here I come to the stand, and they tell me, you know, I don't remember even honestly if they tell me to swear to tell the truth. I don't know if they do that anymore, or if we're post swearing on the Bible, whatever it was.
Post telling the truth.
Yeah. So here I am. Imagine the judge's name is Judge Brown. Imagine I said to Judge Brown, he says that the other guy, the kategor, says, you know, that he violated section A, B, C, code G, whatever it was, of the Teaneck laws by driving his vehicle the wrong way. And we have officer, you know, Hudson Plutz to tell us the truth that exactly he did that. So imagine I turn to the judge when he looks at me and says, so what do you have to say? And I say, Judge, I have to tell you, you're fabulous. You have the best looking robe in all of Bergen County. Not only that, I went online and I found out that you have the highest approval rating of any judge, any sitting judge in all of North Jersey. And everybody knows that you're the fairest judge and the best judge that we could find right here in Bergen County. I go on and on for about 5 minutes, and I say, Your Honor, thank you very much. So how's that going to work out for me?
Not good.
Not good?
I don't think so.
Why not?
You're here, so
I've been to court.
You've been to court. Why won't that work out so well for me?
You're not going to be talking about the merits.
Oh. So... meaning I should have said...
You follow the pasuk, Al chazor v'lo picha.
So what I should have done, was go up to him and say, excuse me, Your Honor, I have to tell you the truth. I really did this. It was an accident. I'm not from Teaneck. I got out of the thing on the wrong way. I'm so sorry. I'm telling you, I will never, ever, I commit right now, never going to drive the wrong way.
Never go to Teaneck.
That's right. Never going to drive the wrong way on a one-way in Teaneck Road. And by the way, I don't mean to criticize the police force in Teaneck. They're wonderful people. God bless them. They keep us safe. Very good. So that would probably be a more apropos way to do it, right?
Right. I mean, I would say.
You've been to court, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's you've spent a lot of time doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not on the hook for... I'm not paying for this, am I? It's not legal advice.
I'll send you
okay, just clarifying.
I'll deliver it because I don't want to waste money on the stamp.
That's right. So if that's the case, then our whole Rosh Hashanah then doesn't make any sense. Because we just said that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. So we all are going to come, especially the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Zohar HaKadosh says that it's Yom Adin Akasha. It's the strong day. It's the intensity of the first day that brings with it scrutiny. So we come to Rosh Hashanah. So what would you expect? You would expect if Mr. Greenberg Esquire was advising you as his counsel, he would say, stand up there and take responsibility. Speak about the merits of your case and apologize honestly, sincerely, for the things that you did wrong. For goodness sake. Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense now. You imagine you stand before the judge today. I'm going to stand before the judge today in the Teaneck Municipal Court. I'm going to say, Melech Elyon! Melech Elyon! I'm going to sing a bunch of songs. We're going to make up songs by German Paitanim, all sing about how great the judge is, how great God is. That's what we do in Rosh Hashanah. Oh my... Melech Elyon, me-la-la-la-la-la-la. You know, lots of nigunim. It's wild. Then, after the case is over, 10 days later, I'm going to show up back in the court and say, Judge, Your Honor, I have to tell you, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. He says, I'm happy to see you, but I'm sorry, that case was dealt with 10 days ago. That file, it's over. What are you talking about? It's wild. Think about it. We come into shul, what do we say? Ha Melech! I don't get it. Well, so the answer is that it must be different than we thought. We thought that the essence of the day was the Yom HaDin. Well, then let's look a little more closely. Turns out the essence of the day is something else. How do you know what the essence of a day is? The liturgy is a good litmus test to figure out what that is. So what is the the structure of the Amidah, of the silent prayer of the Shemona Esrei on any day? Three introductory blessings, three closers, and then the content of the day, whatever is important issue of that day. So, for example, tomorrow, what is the middle bracha going to be? Mekadesh Shabbos. It's focusing on the Shabbos. That is what the day is all about. So that's the indicator, the middle bracha. So what is the middle bracha on Rosh Hashanah? Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And if you didn't say Melech, the king, in that last blessing, which really captures the essence of the day, you missed the blessing. You did not fulfill it correctly. That's what it says in the Siddur. Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, God is the king. So it sounds like Malchios, the concept of God being the king, is really the essence.
Because if he's not the king, we don't have to listen to him.
Okay, good. So first we have to establish that. So now my question is, okay, well, number one, I'm dealing with two different themes. How do I reconcile them? That's number one. And number two, how does the fact that God is the king deal with the fact that I'm being judged and I'm not saying anything? So on that score, you can look at it in the following light. Imagine we were all to attend the coronation ceremony of a king. Now, we could think of it in the shadow of a king, our days, but in the old days, when the king, the melech, literally had the authority in his hand for life and death. There's no such thing as an appeals process. This man controlled everything in the kingdom from the beginning till the end. So when this king was coronated, this was everything. So you can imagine, Lahavdil, some shadow of that, if you went to Washington, to Pennsylvania Avenue, for the inauguration of the president. So imagine going to Washington, and pick any president, you go down there, especially in the old days, so the presidents would walk. Now they walk, but they're very, very carefully protected. But you could have a president who would walk down Pennsylvania Avenue, shake hands with people in the old days on the side. So imagine you come to a ticker tape parade for the president on the day of the inauguration. People are throwing confetti. They're cheering. They're screaming. Everybody's excited. So the president comes up along. They have those metal barriers. He comes up, says Shalom Aleichem to the people as he's walking. And one little Chaim Yankel sticks out his hand to the president and says, "Excuse me, sir." The president says, "Yes." Stops, talks to the man. He says, "I have to tell you something. I'm really sorry." Kind of looks a little bit sheepish. You know, he has his hand on his head. He says, "Your Honor, you remember 2 weeks ago when you were in Iowa campaigning and somebody egged you on the stage? I'm so sorry. That was me. And a month before that, you remember when you were in Ohio and somebody put a whoopee cushion when you sat down on the podium? I'm really sorry. I have to tell you. I wanted just to ask your forgiveness." What do you think the president would think? What do you think he would say?
"Why did they let this nut so close to me?"
Right. "You are a nut. You want to talk about apologizing? Let's find the time. Let's find the place. Let's find the right setting, and we'll be happy to talk. Can you leave me alone? I'm enjoying 5 minutes of celebration. Everybody's throwing confetti, and you have to be the one dundik to rain on the parade? Crazy. What are you doing? I don't get it."
Or.
Yes?
Conversely, he can take time right there and right then and say, "I understand. People make mistakes. I'm glad to see that you're here. And I'm glad that you're at my celebration. And thanks for coming."
He probably would do that.
I understand.
Right. But I want to go to the first guy. You're right. That's what the president would do. But do you think if you had to suggest to this guy who feels bad, is that the time and the place to come to talk to the president to apologize?
Of course not.
Right? Why not?
Everybody's around. There's tumult. There's chaos. There's a balagan.
And also, how does the president feel right now?
How do you relate one-on-one? And the president's got a lot of other things to deal with.
Right.
The president also...
But conversely...
Yes?
The president's got time for...
Oh,
if he's
good. Yeah, but here's my question. Does he have time now? Everybody's busy celebrating. Why doesn't he make an appointment?
Because the president can make time for each and
good.
Every...
Good, okay. Perfect. So now we're starting to get to the root of it. What's happening today? What's happening today if today is Rosh Hashanah? Today, at its core, the bracha in the middle says, Melech al kol ha'aretz, v'kol malchios, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, the core of the day is malchios. If the core of the day is malchios, now I can understand why the Shulchan Aruch writes that there was a minug. This Shulchan Aruch appears in, it's actually a Ramah, in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Gimel. Yesh medaktikim shelo lechol egozim. There are some who have the custom not to eat egozim, nuts. Why?
Because
the gematria is chet. Nobody wants to mention sin. On Yom Kippur we're going to say, I forget how many al chets and how many al shamnus. On Rosh Hashanah you don't mention it because it's not appropriate. The answer to the question is confetti. Rosh Hashanah is the day of confetti. Everybody's celebrating. So it's not proper for you to come to the king and apologize and start bringing up all the things that you did wrong. That's not the proper place.
So why is the Yom HaDin in Yom Kippur then?
Excellent question. So why is the Yom HaDin? So here's another mashal. So everybody's coming to coronate the king. So imagine, though, that I remember we used to participate when we lived in New York, so we used to participate in the Israel Day Parade. So when you go to a parade, oftentimes there's a reviewing stand, you know, whether it's the mayor or the governor, they sit in this kind of like a platform and they look down. So imagine you were the king And today is the coronation day. Everybody comes. And what does everybody come and say? Long live the king! And everybody passes along the reviewing stand and greets the king, salutes, waves, whatever they do. What happens when each person goes by the king and says, long live the king? So what does the king do? He looks down and he says, who are you? What have you been up to? I haven't seen you lately. The process of being Mamlech Hashem, to say to God, you are the king. So God says to us, so who are you? What do you do here? What's your job here? I haven't seen you lately. What have you been up to? Are you worthy of staying on for another year in this service? It's not, I asked before, how could it be two competing themes? The answer is the themes are actually complementary. Because if you're committing yourself to say God is the king, so then he's going to say back to you, you're going to need to reflect and say, so what am I up to?
You can say, I'm your people. I am your people.
Exactly. And now he says to me, if you're my people, so let me see, how's that been going for you? I want to make sure that you say you're my people, really? And last week, what, you did the A, B, C, and D?
Same page.
Are we on the same page? So there's no tshuva right now. It's the first step in tshuva. First you have to commit yourself. First you have to say, yes, I'm in the service of Hashem. And then he says, okay, so let's figure this out. So don't worry, 10 days later, we're going to make time. So much of Elul, what Vern was alluding to, HaMelech Basodeh, Hasidim say, the king is in the field. Now's the time to talk to him. Chaparayin, right before, you know, it's like he's in the dressing room before going out to the parade. So the tailor says, oh, you know, while he's fixing his pants, you know, I had a quick question. My daughter has a problem. It's not two contradictory themes. They are complementary themes. The coronation day is the same day as judgment day. Where do we find this?
I didn't hear what you just said.
The coronation day is the same as judgment day. So where do we find this? So now we come back. Unbelievable. What happens on a king's birthday? So there is a phrase in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Now this phrase, it's in the context of non-Jewish holidays having to do with idol worship. So the phrase is Yom Genusya. So Yom Genusya, the Mefarshim translate, Yom Genusya means Yom HaHachtara, the day of coronation. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Yom Genusya translates as Yom Huledes.
Huledes, within hey.
Hey, Yom Huledes.
Birthday.
Birthday. Now those two probably fit together. What happens on the king's birthday?
He forgives.
Before that, what does everybody do on the king's birthday?
They give him presents.
They give him presents. Everybody comes and celebrates the coronation of the king. Long live the king. What happens on Yom Huledes as Paro? What does Paro do on his birthday? He has a big party. He has a celebration. What does everybody do? They all come and say,
long live the king.
Long live the king. And what does he say in return? Excuse me, butler, where you been? Who are you? What have you been up to? And he says, Your Honor, I'm so sorry. A couple of weeks ago, they put me in the jail because a fly got in the cup. He says, don't worry about it. Let's go. We got things to do. We got drinks to mix. Let's go. And the other guy, unfortunately, the other way, lo aleinu. So this story that we read, right here in the end of Parashas Vayeshev, I think it gives us an incredible insight into really what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. But you know what's more amazing? This may, in fact, knock your socks off, so be careful. You know when Paro's birthday was? It was on Rosh Hashanah. Now, how do I know that? I make the following quick calculation. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, on Yoram HaBeis, but Rosh Hashanah, Yotza Yosef mi beiso asurim. On Rosh Hashanah, Yosef got out of jail. Oh. Well, when did he get out of jail?
2 years later.
Vayhi mikech nasayim yamim. It was 2 years exactly after this incident. So that means if Yosef got out on Rosh Hashanah, 2 years prior was Rosh Hashanah. What is that? Yom Uledes Hesparo. When we read the story in Sefer Bereishis, we're reading the story of Rosh Hashanah. That the little people come to the sovereign ruler and say, you are the king, and he says, who are you? And he judges them. It's not a contradiction. That is the story. So just for a few minutes, we'll add one Tosefis, one addition. Unbelievable. Who would have ever thought? That story is the story of Rosh Hashanah. The birthday of Paro is the story of Rosh Hashanah because it's the birthday of the world. So it's on the birthday of the world that we come back to the king with a capital K and we say, Hashem Melech. Hashem is the king. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. So by definition, if we come, it's not, it doesn't say in the Torah anywhere, in the Bible, in the Chumash, it doesn't say it is the Yom HaDin. It's Yom HaZikaron. It's a day of remembrance. Because when we come to Hashem and say, you are the king, he says, oh, I remember you now. I pay close attention to you now. It's not that the judgment is pre-planned. It's not a court date. It's just the immediate consequence of saying God is the king. The minute you say that, you have to ask yourself, what role do you play in this kingdom? How committed are you to serving the king? What have you been up to lately? You think about yourself and your role when you say that. It's just the immediate consequence of saying Hashem is the king. So now we want to ask ourselves, okay, this is an amazing idea, that we're going to say Hashem Melech, Melech al kol haaretz, Malchios is the theme. By definition, that includes an element of din. So how am I going to navigate this? So perhaps we can suggest that the story has an insight. Because unfortunately, in a certain sense, on this Rosh Hashanah, two men appeared on the scene. One of them went L'chaim. One of them was inscribed in the book of Paro, Zum Leben, for life. And the other one? Death. He didn't get it. So what's the difference? We want to be the Sar Mashkim this Rosh Hashanah. We want to be the ones who
have life.
Who have life. How are you going to distinguish? How do I make sure that I'm the Sar Mashkin? So how did Yosef know that this would be the outcome? What was it? Maybe it was a prophecy. But maybe Yosef listened very carefully to their dreams and he was able to discern a slight difference between the two of them, and that difference was the difference between L'chaim and the other side. So everybody could look at this story carefully again over Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, think about different takeaways. Here's one potential way to look at it. Yosef listens to the butler, and what is his dream? What did we say the dream of the butler was?
The fly fell in the...
What's the dream? The dream.
The vines were growing.
The vines were growing. How were they growing?
Real nicely.
Beautifully.
Right.
And ripe.
And then he squeezed them.
Three of them, and he squeezed them into the cup.
Exactly. Beautiful. Then he hears the dream of the baker. What does the baker say?
The flies were eating.
The birds were eating.
The birds were eating the baked goods.
Exactly.
He didn't bake it.
Either he didn't bake it.
We don't see it.
Right, we don't see him baking it.
Or he doesn't get to
give
it.
You don't see what?
We don't see him doing the baking. That's number one, great Hara. We could do a lot. There's so many. We could spend an hour breaking down these dreams. Just 1 second. We could spend an hour breaking down these dreams and taking a beautiful lesson away for Rosh Hashanah. Everybody here could make a whole shiur looking at it different ways. When Yosef hears the first dream, he hears a dream of a guy who's committed. Nobody's perfect, but the guy is committed. And what is his vision of the future? His vision is a vision of excellence, of outstanding service. A person who is committed, they communicate that verbally, but also non-verbally. They have it in their subconscious. That's how he was dreaming it. So Yosef knows when this man goes to Paro, he is so sincere. He is so committed. He is so devoted. That's going to come through. Right? We see that in life all the time. Right? You see people, they don't have to say they're committed. They show you. You know they're committed. So Yosef thinks to himself, says, if that's your dream, is to serve with excellence, Paro is for sure going to get that. He's going to get it. I know he's going to get it, and he's going to bring you to life. Then you have a guy who has a dream. So Yosef says to him, what's your dream? What's your big hasaga? What's your vision? He says, you know, I got some bread, and the birds are eating the bread. Yosef says, your vision is a bunch of birds eating your bread? That's your level of commitment? That's what you're striving for? That's what your subconscious tells you? Your subconscious tells you is, yeah, I'll have bread, like you said, maybe, you know, wherever
he's
I get the bread from.
Thing. He's serving, he's giving the birds bread to eat.
Nice, shkoyach, thank you. You want to be a bird feeder. So your flesh, says Power, will be the bird feeder. It's mediocre at best. That's not a commitment of excellence. It's a commitment of mediocrity. So Yosef says, everybody knows mediocrity. They can sense it. When Paro sees you, it ain't going to be pretty. Because he doesn't want that. He doesn't want a baker who's kacha kacha, you know, so committed to baking
call
bread.
That nishta he, nishta he.
That's it. He doesn't want that. Yosef says, unfortunately, you don't have a lot of hope. Maybe this is a good takeaway. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to have mistakes. That's part of being human. The question is, when we commit ourselves to our service of Hashem over the coming year on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Hashem Melech, what kind of commitment is that? What kind of vision do we want for ourselves? How do we dream? Do we dream that we're going to be great spiritual beings? That's what we want? That's what we feel in our subconscious? That's what our aspiration is? We want to dream for excellence? Well, if we dream like that, then Hashem Yisbarach, God should bless us all. We should be able to fulfill that dream. We've dreamed that dream every year and it's never been perfect. But you know what? The more you dream, the more you could grow. Right? The more that dream could potentially become a reality. But God forbid the other side, if a person comes to Rosh Hashanah and says, you know what? It's not so important. I have other priorities than God. So then, what's he going to expect in terms of a position for the coming year? Lo aleinu, we don't want to talk about that. So the takeaway is understanding this complexity, this nuance, that on the one hand we say Hashem is the king, but therefore by definition on the other hand he's judging us. Well, what happens when you're in judgment? You have to say to the judge, we come back to the Teaneck Municipal Court, you have to say with absolute conviction, Your Honor, I am committed to being a citizen who abides by the law without any equivocation, following every small section and subset section of the law. And if the judge sees that you're honest and that you're earnest about that commitment and it's a firm commitment, so then he's going to be much more likely to trust you going forward, to have confidence to invest in you. Our prayer together is that this Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to wish you a Shana Tova, because that's what we do during Ella, especially because for some I might not see before Rosh Hashanah, although I hope to see everyone who's able to make it on Sunday night at the Chicago History Museum for our annual summer event. Our prayer is that we strengthen each other so that when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have the Rosh Hashanah of the Sar Mashkin. Because it was Rosh Hashanah. That's the unbelievable thing. It was Rosh Hashanah. We're going to be the Sar Mashkim this year. We're going to come to Hashem and say, Hashem, we have a dream of being great Jews. And then he's going to say, you know what? Let's give it another whirl. Let's have a Shnas Chaim v'Shalom. May it be his will for all of us and all of our families, all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.
Amen. When you make that positive